Blog Talk Radio.
My, how blessed are we to be able to hear this song and to know that the person that wrote this song is on the line with us right here and now on Solar Records Radio. So I just want to welcome all of our listeners to the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and being a part of Solar Records Radio. I pray that God is with you and you are protected and you are safe and you definitely are blessed because you are here. You have another day on this planet. And so, but anyway, guys, let's do what we have to do here. We're gonna have a great show with the Melvin and Mervin And so, and the brothers, the amazing brothers, the writers out of Philadelphia who blessed so many of us with their skills. And, you know, for me, I have to tell you, I'm nervous. So, because this is like my uncle. It's like this is a generation before me, and he probably don't like that I call him my uncle, but he's a generation before me. And so he and others have paved the way for us, for myself and a lot of other writers and producers and musicians that came along the way. So without any further ado, I want to bring in my brother Melvin. Melvin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here listening with rapt attention.
Hi, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Oh, yes, sir. That's right. I know that's right. God, man. And, you know, I got to hear your wife's beautiful voice. Hello to your amazing wife, who the song we just heard was written because of her. So thank you for stimulating his heart the way that you did and blessed so many other people in the world. Man, oh man, to be dating someone since you're 16, good gracious. You guys did it well. You knew right away at an early age this was the one, huh?
Yeah, my twin brother and I stood out on her front porch and we flipped a coin to see who was going to be the one who would stay while the other one went away. And of course, I won, but today I tell everybody that Adrina won. She won the toss. She got me.
That's beautiful, beautiful, you know, man, so you guys were flipping the coin to see who could go, because he thought she was beautiful too, right?
No, well, we had a friend who was from the city. We lived outside of Pittsburgh, and he was going to introduce us to some of the pretty girls from Westinghouse High School in the city, which was a predominantly black school, and they had beautiful girls, but by 7 o'clock, on a Friday night, he was striking out. And so in desperation, he called my wife, who had recently broke up with his best friend, and he somehow inveigled her to let us come by for 5 minutes. And when we got up there on the porch, one of us was going to stay and the other was going to go away with our friend Sinclair Taylor, who was going to introduce the other brother to another girl. So flipped a coin and I won, and that's how it began.
Oh my God. And I'm so excited for you because, man, oh man, how many years later you guys are still together. And you know what? I got to tell all the ladies and the gentlemen that his wife said men age faster than women. So she's still young, and that's all good. We love it. We love it, man. Oh man! I mean, that kind of humor keeps us keeps them young, I guess. But anyway, so man, I mean, you have. I need to clarify this too for the listeners. You have several different names you go by. Can you express the different names that you go by so people, maybe they might not know Melvin, but they may know a different name. You want to share that with us?
Yeah. Unlike many people, I've lived in two worlds. I'm in the record business, but I'm also an educator. And along the way in being an educator, I ran into some football players in 11th grade American novel class who could not read. And that bothered me so much, I went back to school. I went to Duke University, got a master's in reading, English and language arts, and reading specialist certification. Then I went on to the University of Pittsburgh, where I earned a doctorate degree in curriculum and supervision. Because for me, when my students fail, I fail.
Mm.
Go back to school, and I learn whatever I need to know, and now I have acquired the ability, if I had to go in a classroom setting, I have the ability to go as low as my students are in my areas of expertise and structure some, create lessons that will bring them up to where they need to be.
Right, right.
So I'm Dr. Fields in some quarter, and Some people call me, my old students call me Mr. Steels. One of my students said recently, you gave me a paddle at 1 o'clock, and at 7:30 at night, I saw you up in the Stanley Theater singing on stage with Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Oh man, that is wow. That's my teacher, you know. And to see your teacher, at least, you know, from high school and junior high school and elementary school, to see your teacher outside of business, it's like seeing a celebrity going down the street. Oh, that's Mr. Such and Such. Oh, that's Mr. Such. You know, we get so excited to see our teachers because you guys are so important in our lives and stuff. So you help to mold us into who we are. So thank you so much for this.
There's another name that my brother and I go by, and that is Maestro and Lyric. That is the name we used when we did Could It Be I'm Falling in Love.
Maestro and Lyric?
Yeah. M-Y-S-T-R-O and L-Y-R-I-C. My twin brother who plays the piano is Maestro, and I'm the lyricist. Because I write the words, and you know, the two of us, there's something magical that happens whenever we sit down and come up with songs that we want to get recorded.
That's beautiful. And there's another name too, right? Aren't you guys also called the Steele Brothers?
The Steels Brothers,
yes. Yeah, the Steels Brothers, yes. Absolutely. So you got three different titles happening here, three different names.
Right.
Okay. Wow. I love it. And so I want, you know, so your story has to be completely just deep because of that alone. But also, I mean, just, you know, I'm so excited because of your history. I would love for you to kind of share you and your brother's story as to how did you become these amazing twins that did what you did in the music industry and on to do other things as well. So can you just kind of back up from your childhood and kind of share about
how from the childhood, we loved music. And on Saturday nights when we were around 8 or 9 years old, we were big enough, the two of us, to fit into the bathtub at the same time. And when we were in the tub, then we were trying to emulate the music that we heard on the radio and you know, out of Pittsburgh. And we would have a lot of fun. We would pretend being the guitar or the bass, you know, we'd pounding on the tub. And finally, we took our show on the road to the living room on the second floor. And we were doing our thing up there one day, and our mother yelled up the stairs, "Shut up, that bus. You sound like a pack of wild dogs."
I love it.
The thing that really impressed me about music was the Mount Olive Baptist Church, where we went to church as boys. Both of our parents were part of the Great Migration. Fled the South, came north. And the story is complicated, so I'll just say we ended up in Mount Olive Baptist Church, and the singing, the songs that were sung in that church and the manner in which they were sung, there's like Mrs. Maddie Scrutchin. She was like our Mahalia Jackson, and my brother and I had a sister named Yulame, and she was a great gospel singer. So that music, it gets in you. And it in fact impacted my twin brother so much, he began to want to learn how to play the piano, and he went all over the place. People who taught him about the piano was Eddie Holman. Eddie Holman was our classmate at Cheney State University outside of Philadelphia, and he and my brother would get into wherever there was a piano, they would sit down, and Eddie would show my brother how to write songs, how to structure songs, and they were thrown out of every building where there was a piano because of the noise they were making. But Eddie took us into Philadelphia, up to Frank Virtue's studio up Broad in Columbia, And that's where we really got into the record business. His studio is where Barbara Mason sang that song, Yes, I'm Ready.
Oh, and wow, that's yes.
And the guitar player, Norman Harris, that played the guitar there. And you had Earl Young, the drummer, and Ronnie Baker, the bass player. Those three gentlemen, in my estimation, are the pure Philadelphia. When you hear those guys playing, they had something magical. Roland Chambers, also, he was a great guitar player. Back in the day, in the 60s, he would go from Philadelphia and go out on the road with Marvin Gaye. He taught Norman how to play the guitar. But that whole thing, going in there and being around that caliber of musicians, those guys did things magical. I would watch them in the studio. I think Huff would come in, Gamblin' Huff. Huff would come in to the studio, and he had an idea of what a song was going to be, but he would flesh it out with the musicians. They would jam, and they would do different things until the song was structured. And when the song was structured, that's when Kenny Gamble would appear. And I have to say about Kenny Gamble is a great, great songwriter. I remember when we worked for them, I had never seen a legal pad. Mm-hmm. He had a legal pad, and I found that's a pad that lawyers use. They write their notes on.
Right,
but he showed me how to structure, to write and structure a song on the legal pad. And to this day, I still follow that format. And he taught us that the most important part of a song was what he called a sing-along. You're not old enough to remember Mitch Miller, but I'm one of those antediluvian individuals. I do remember Mitch Miller. And he used to have a TV show, and he would have sing-along. And the sing-along is usually contains the title of the song, and that is important because if you can get people singing along with that sing-along, like Could It Be I'm Falling in Love is a sing-along. And later, you're going to play something called Say Hello. There's a sing-along. And then he showed me how to structure verses. So it was like going to school. And my brother and I were there when the sound that eventually became known as the Philadelphia, the sound of Philadelphia, we were there and all of that started.
What year was that around?
It was during the 1960s, somewhere. I remember being at Cheney State College, and one night they had a band called Kenny Gamble and the Romeo. And Kenny Gamble was the lead singer. Tom Bell was the keyboard player. And you had Roland Chambers playing the guitar, and his brother Carl Chambers playing the drums. And there was a bass player from New Orleans. All I know, his name was Winnie. But they were the nucleus, and that started, with the Gamble sound. And then eventually Norman Harris and Ronnie Baker and Earl Young and other people. When you think of the Philly sound, there were black musicians, there were Italians, there were Jews. It was what America is. When we bring the best from each segment of our population together for a common cause, great things happen. And that's what happened in Philadelphia. And I am extremely proud to say that I was a part of that.
Wow. Wow. So, man, oh, man, thank you for that intro. That is amazing. So, to tell us, how did you guys end up, writing for people like well-known artists like the Spinners? Was that one of their first hits?
When I found out one of my fraternity brothers was Cheney, and for those who are interested, I'm a Q, and I found out that Tammy Terrell was his cousin. And at first I asked him, I said, man, you lie. But she really was his cousin. And he arranged for my twin brother and me to go to her home. I think she lived somewhere up in Germantown or near Germantown, wherever those wealthy people live up in that area. We went to her home, and she was upstairs in her bedroom recovering from a surgery, and we went up to her bedroom, and we performed for her. The two of us sang a cappella, and she loved us. But she told us, don't go to Motown. She sent us up to New York to a guy named Don Gold, who loved us, and he did something I had never experienced before. Don Gold gave my twin brother and me a $50 bill. We had never seen a $50 bill. We had seen a $5 bill. So seeing a $50 bill, that just, we signed our lives away.
You were rich, Jay.
Yeah, but then when you sign those kind of contracts, you should get a stipend every week. And so we were starving in Germantown, and we would go to the mailbox. There was no check. We'd go to the payphone, call collect, and tell Don Gold, well, the check is not here. You know, he said it's in the mail. And we finally, we sat down and we said, we looked at each other and we said, the mailman has stolen our check. we were going to roll down on the mailman because he had stolen our check.
Right.
And then we got so desperate, we called and we made my brother arranged for us to have an audition with Gamble and Huff. And I'll never forget, we went up to Germantown and we got on the 23 streetcar, went down to Broad and Only. And as we were getting in the subway to go down the Broad, you know, down to Market Street,
right,
this police officer watched us get on the train, and he probably thought we looked like two people who could commit murder and mayhem. So he followed us. He got on the train with us and followed us all the way down to Broad and Market Street. And when we got off, he followed us down to the Schubert Building and watched us appear inside that building. And then we auditioned upstairs. Tom Bell was there before Gamble came, and we played our songs to Tom, and he loved it. And said, you got to wait for the big man, and the big man was Kenny Gamble, and that's where we signed a contract with them, and that's how we stayed with Gamble and Huff for a couple of years, and then we left, went to Curtis Mayfield in Chicago, but we always stayed in touch with Tom Bell. And we wrote Could It Be I'm Falling in Love because Billy Jackson, who used to produce The Times, came to Pittsburgh, and he liked our songs, and he asked us to write something for Peaches and Herb, and that's where the idea for Could It Be I'm Falling in Love came from. Plus, Tammy Terrell was our dear friend, and we thought about her and Marvin, but she was ill, so we never did that. So we went came to Philadelphia to see Tom Bell. We had written a song for the stylist called I'll Never Get Tired of Loving You. And we met with Tommy. My brother played the song. I sang the song. He loved it. He said, put that on the reel. And as we were going out of the door, my twin brother turned around and said, Tommy, I have something else I want you to listen to. And he got on and he started playing Could It Be I'm Falling in Love. And we left and we didn't hear anything. And then we found out that Tommy had made a deal with Atlantic Records to produce The Spinners. And a lot of people might not know, Tommy Bell not only played at the Uptown Theater as a house pianist, but he also played at the Apollo Theater in New York City.
Wow.
And he had heard The Spinners when they, you know, before they came to Motown, to Atlantic Records. And he knew that they could sing. And Atlantic Records at that time was thinking about dropping The Spinners. But Tommy Bell took them, and he... four songs on him. One of the four songs that he took to Detroit was Could It Be I'm Falling in Love. And he played it after it was done. And some people won't believe this, but neither my brother Mervin nor I, what he had done to our song. We didn't like what he did. Could it be I'm falling in love?
Okay.
And he said, I gave it the Al Green beat. That's when Al Green, I'm so in love with you.
Uh-huh.
And Tommy Bell, being the genius that he was, he told us, he played it twice. And then the second time he said, this song is going to be a million seller in 6 weeks. And Tom Bell did not lie. That song just up the
took off. Wow. Wow. That is amazing. That's, woo, man. See, you just never know. I love the stories behind the stories, man. And, you know, you just hear the song and you just think, wow, this is a great song. But how did that happen? And now we know. How did that happen? And you guys are the ones that created it. So thank you. I have questions.
I want to add a little to the story about it. And the song says, since I met you, I began to feel so strange. And mm-hmm. when I first met my wife when I was 16, I used to go up to her house on the weekends, but I didn't know how to say her name. Her name is Adrena, A-D-R-E-N-A. And I didn't know how to say it. And I would try to listen to her mother and father, and eventually it took me about a month to learn how to say Adrena. But that's why the song says, since I met you, I began to feel so strange. Every time I speak your name, I had never heard the name Adrena. For me, meeting her for the first time, for me, it was like having met an angel. And that song is so long because it was a duet. And Tom Bell told me, he said, well, you got to change the lyric. And if you don't change the lyric, then I'm going to, you know. So I sat down and I figured it out. And so you have that song.
Man, that is awesome. And like I said, you guys are still together after all those years. And so definitely you fell in love. big time, man. Okay, so listen, I have so many questions for you, including the questions from overseas. And since we were just talking a little bit about Motown and Philly, you're talking about Philly International, the question I see here is, what are the thoughts? Oh, wait a minute. Can you talk about how and why the Motown sound and the Philly sound merged to become its own genre of music?
Well, back in, I think it was 1975, we went into Henry Allen's office. Henry Allen was a powerful brother in the Atlantic organization, and he was starting the label Cotillion. He was recommissioning that label, and they were doing the impression, and my brother and I was there, and we had written some songs for the impression, and a guy named McKinley Jackson, who was Marvin Gaye's last musical director, who his band, the Politicians, were the Funk Brothers of the Invictus Records.
Mm-hmm.
At 16, he played his trombone on Ooh Baby Baby. So he was Motown. And he got picked to be the person to produce the impressions. And I think they had an album with 8 songs, and my twin brother and I wrote 6 of those songs. So my brother and I are Philadelphia songwriters, and our friend McKinley was Motown. So we came up with this concept, the Mo Philly sound. And we recently did something with Russell Tompkins Jr., where we had an opportunity to do the Mo Philly concept. McKinley came down to Philadelphia and played the piano. We used musicians out of Philadelphia, Alfie Pollitt, whom you interviewed last week.
Right.
Wawa, who was the guitar player for Teddy Pendergrass. We used his percussionist. We used a drummer down there from Philly, and then we went to Detroit and we put the horns on. And then the mix, you have that Motown and Philly sound, and it's blended.
Yeah.
That's what we do. McKinley Jackson, Detroit, Steels Brothers, Philadelphia Songwriter.
Okay. There you go. Motown Philly back again. Another one of the questions from the overseas is, what are your thoughts about Peaches and Herb turning down Could It Be I'm Falling in Love? What was your thought?
In
retrospect.
Back then, I was, disappointing. But in retrospect, I say, praise the Lord.
God's in charge, right?
Yeah, he is in charge. And in my whole life, I have seen that. Things, miraculous things happen.
Yes.
And everything, even if it's bad, God has an ulterior motive. Something good is going to come from something bad. And, sometimes people ask me, well, why didn't you do music full-time? Why are you teaching school? But in retrospect again, God wanted me to be at the school with those young people. And my former students called me from all around the country. Like one of my two brothers, I'll just tell this short story. I went to a funeral for one of my childhood friends who passed away. And after the service, I was going down the aisle, going towards the exit. And one of my students saw me, and he came up and hugged me. Then he took six steps, and he wheeled around and looked at me and yelled. He said, you know what? I said, what? He said, you need another hug. And he came and hugged me. Then his brother came, and he hugged me. And he stepped back, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah,
he said, when I was
that.
In your 11th grade English class, I had a 0.6 grade point average, which is the lowest D, but I took an interest in him, put him in a summer program. He got a full athletic scholarship to Ohio University, and today he is a very successful person, businessman down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so I'm not rich, but I am rich. And every time I see my former students, and they're all over the country, when I see them doing well, then I know that God had a purpose. My steps have been ordered by the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Oh, man, that is so good, man. You have so many stories, and you have so much to share, and you're totally rich. And that's a blessing, man, because there's nothing like that. I mean, I have students as well that I, teach drums to, and when they say things like that to me, thank you so much. You really changed my life for, helping me and guiding me. I mean, it's like, whoa, you can't beat that, and it feels like it's your child. You feel like they're yours. You're so proud that you were able to do something for them, and you did it out of love, because I do it truly out of my passion, and I love teaching kids drums. I can't teach them what you teach them, but I love teaching drums and stuff. So, man, oh, man, so many questions for you, dude. I mean, so many questions. And my phone is, I say my phone because I have it on the messenger, and it's blowing up with questions for you. One of the questions, okay. Let me get to this real fast. Your whole situation with Philly and everything, it kind of made a change. You decided, or God decided, or whatever, that you're going to pursue both things. You're going to be an educator, but at the same time, your passion was there, and you didn't want to abandon what was inside you. I guess you had double passions, and so you didn't want to abandon your music completely, so you were doing your teaching thing, but at the same time, you continued to do your music, and others started doing your music. Can you tell us a little bit about, how you were able to support two careers?
Well, some years the royalties were really good, and it was not only two careers. All three of our children went to college. And while they were in college, I went back to get a master's degree.
Oh, my goodness.
And a doctorate degree. And all of that money. And
yes.
When I was working on the doctorate degree, my mother would loan me money so I could pay my tuition. But it was a calling. I wanted to be able to reach students where they were. And
that's
why I kept going. Because as I said, when my students fell, I fell. And I had the wonderful experience of working in 5 different school districts. For 6 years, I was an adjunct professor at Duquesne University. And I enjoyed that. And once I retired, a friend of mine who I met in Philadelphia, in fact, he and I sang the background vocals on Major Harris's song, Each Morning I Wake Up, a guy named Darryl Grant. And he was a part of a very popular singing group out of Las Vegas. And I can't think of the name right now, but they were big. They sang with the big symphony orchestra. They were the number one act on Royal Caribbean. But he called me out of the blue, and he left me a message. And I said, should I call him? And I called him back. And that's how I really got back in the record business. And then we reconnected with McKinley Jackson, and we just started doing stuff, and we're still doing stuff.
Right. Now, you guys, I mean, can you just name a few of the acts that you worked with off of the top of your head, just a few of them?
Well, the Spinners, you know, my twin brother Mervin and I, and a super jock from WAMO in Pittsburgh, brother Matt, we wrote Gloria Gaynor's very first hit song, which was a big disco record called Honeybee. We wrote for Major Harris. We wrote for First Choice. Our song Love Thing got sampled by Chubb Rock.
You know, Chubb Rock.
We did The Tramp.
The Tramp.
We wrote a song for Blue Magic and Margie Joseph. We did a group called Ecstasy, Passion, and Pain. Eddie Kendrick sang one of our songs, Wilson Pickett.
Wow.
And I found out recently, what's that, A$AP Rocky? A$AP Rocky went back to 1968 and found a song that we had written for Gamble and Huff, the Gamble label. The song was called Gotta Find My Way Back Home. There's a story about my wife and I went crazy for a while and got separated, and I wrote that song. But A$AP Rocky has a recording called Back Home, and he sampled our song. And I'm finding out some of these contemporary rappers go back and sample. And the music from my era, that's timeless music. And someone, a rapper recently wanted to buy our catalog so he can dig into the songs that we did. But
That's crazy and awesome that you know, I mean, one of the things I respect is that they, you know, they're telling you this and not just taking it, because, you know, that was happening for a while too, where they would just take your stuff and then you have to discover later and then fight for it. I'm glad that they were at least smart enough or kind enough.
Well, I did fight for one. One morning around 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard Treat 'Em Right. And I called my lawyer. And so every time that Treat 'Em Right, we get paid. We still get paid from that.
All right. I love it. Okay, so let me see. Another one of the questions from the listeners is, when you when you get your first big hit, does it change your writing process?
And you stick with what got you there.
Okay.
As I told you, Gamble and Huff showed me that Huff, well, he's a bad piano player, but when he would play the piano, the keyboards on the floor, Huff could pop those chords on that, the pedals, like it was a drum. He had And that's why I got that thing in me from Huff. I couldn't play the piano, so I pounded on the side of the piano, trying to emulate the sound that Huff made with his feet. But, you know, there's a way of doing it, and I still use that pattern. I listen to different things, but music talks to me. If I hear something I like, then the words will come to me.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. The song I'm Not Strong Enough became Northern Soul cult classic in the UK. How does it feel to leave such a great legacy?
I didn't know that it had been a big record in England until around 2012. I had no idea.
Wow.
And I went to Vegas. I went to a friend. He had a guy that owned one of those oldie shops, and I went in there and I found out that this song was a hit over there. And in 2014, I got a phone call from a guy from England who was living in Spain, and he asked me questions about that song and other things. And eventually he said, could you put that group back together? And I said, yeah, we could put it back together. And I put it back together, and they flew us over to England, up to Manchester. And they wanted us to sing 5 Steel Brothers songs. And I didn't know those songs were popular in England. I had no clue. I didn't know anything about Northern Soul. And I remember watching that movie, Cadillac Records, when Muddy Waters got off the airplane and all those people knew his name. And that's how it was when we performed up in Manchester. They had a English band that played for us. They were very good. And grown men were crying when they heard us singing that. They were crying.
Wow.
They love American
wow.
music.
Wow.
And I heard somebody yelling when I was singing I'm Not Strong Enough. Sounds just like the record. it blew me away.
Right. Wow. Wow. Well, so listen, I have a song called Say Hello. Can you tell us the story behind that? Say Hello?
Yeah, it's a song. When Lou Rawls did the song, You'll Never Find.
Uh-huh.
My brother came up with this song. Say Hello is Say Hello to the Fool, but we call it Say Hello. And Norman Harris and my brother went to Eddie Holman and said, Eddie, you've got to sing this song. And Eddie Holman said, I ain't no fool. He refused to sing the song. And this had been around 40, 50 years ago, and we brought this song back, and I played it for an artist in Chicago, and this artist in Chicago was going to sing the song, but he had a manager who was very demanding, but I said, I'm going to cut this track anyway. And while we were cutting the track at Morningstar Studios right outside of Philadelphia, Norristown, Russell Tompkins happened to be sitting in the studio. And he was singing along. He was sitting next to my brother Mervyn's girlfriend, Blanche, and Blanche told him, you ought to sing this song. And that's where we end up. Russell Tompkins Jr. sang that song. And it's funny, Russell Tompkins Jr. was the reason we went to see Tom Bell, and that led to Could It Be I'm Falling in Love. And now, for me,
full circle.
To have a person that, with an iconic voice like Russell Tompkins singing your song, that's just incredible. I'm humbled and awed.
Yes.
And when you hear him singing, it really, you know, plus that Mo Philly sound in there, the flutes. It's just something that's worth waiting for in life.
And this is new, right? This is something new that you guys are putting out.
Yes, it came out.
I don't have. And this is the original lead singer from Stylistics, right?
Yes, Russell Tompkins Jr.
Yes. All right, so let's take a listen to this song, man. And this is, hey guys, woo, we're getting to hear this early. This is coming out. here on Solar Records Radio with our brother Melvin. And we'll be right back right after this. Check it out. Say hello. Some things are just meant to be, right? My God.
Yeah.
And I mean, you you've done that before where you wrote the song for someone else, Peaches and Herbert, and they didn't do it, and then the spinners come out and it's a huge, I mean, I can't imagine how they felt. Like, how did we let that go? You know, how did we miss out on this opportunity, right? And then you do this again with this other person, and they say, well, no, that's definitely got to happen. I'm not stupid or something, whatever they said. And now Russell Thompson, here we go. Go ahead.
Somebody up there loves it.
And so, I mean, I don't know how you were able to capture the climate. I mean, like that you, I guess you are that style. You are from that era, but you just like, it's just there. It's like as you guys own that sound, that feel, and it's beautiful, man. Thank you for sharing that song. So when is it actually released?
It's out now.
It's out now. So you there's no video yet, right?
There's a video called, if you go on YouTube and look for Say Hello Russell Tompkins Jr., there's a video with pictures of Russell in different settings.
Okay. All right. Okay. Because I was looking for it, but I didn't see it. But I thought it was kind of good, too, because I'd rather for people to buy it than just watch the video.
You can download it, too, on all of the major platforms.
Okay.
Spotify, Apple, all of them. It's out there.
Awesome. So how, I mean, you have to come back. I hope you come back, because I have like a gazillion questions for you, and the listeners do too, and they're gonna get frustrated when I don't ask you all the questions.
I'll come back as often as you will have me back. I'll be there for you.
That's so kind. How can people follow you? How can they follow you and support your career?
Well, we have a website, Steels Brothers. Classics is one way, and if you get on Facebook, we have a Facebook, the Steels Brothers Classic Facebook page as well.
Okay, good. All right. So, man, oh man, I just want you to know that, you know, I mean, you know all these people, you grew up with in the industry with all these people that all we do is read about. We never get to rub shoulders with. You work with them, hung out with them, your buddies and everything. And so it's truly an honor, to talk to you and to meet you. And I look forward to meeting you in person when I come out to see my mom, because you guys are both out there in Philly.
Yeah, when you come to Philly, let me know and I'll make a special trip down the street.
That'd be awesome, man. That'd be great. And the person that's responsible for Could It Be I'm Falling in Love, I'd like to meet her too.
You won't see one without the other.
Oh, that's beautiful. We love it. All right. Let me see one other thing I wanted to ask you. Now, I know that you have a Grammy, and does that have anything to do with 10%?
Yeah, 10%. 10% about 2 years ago, some people from RCA Music contacted our lawyer. They wanted to use the drum track from our song Love Thing by the First Choice. And so we made a deal, and they took the drum track, and they wrote a song on top of it called 10%. And 10% was selected as the best dance recording for the year 2020. And when they sent me an email, they said something about us winning the Grammy. And my brother and our partner, McKinley, we thought somebody was trying to hustle us out of some money we're going to be paying. So we didn't believe it, but it was really true. And we did get Grammys for that. And that, Could It Be I'm Falling in Love lost out to Midnight Train to Georgia. So we had a nomination, but this is the first time. And it was totally unexpected, because who would have ever thought, well, back then there was nothing like that was called sampling. You know, whenever that came out, it made it possible. But they had to give us our just due.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
Getting the Grammy. It's still unbelievable to me. People have to see it to believe it. That's why, you know, we post pictures of us with the Grammy. Who would believe that?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's and we're so I'm so proud, man, and so happy for you, and you're still doing your thing, and just you know, God bless you, man. You are a living legend, and you've blessed so many of us with your walk and open doors for us indirectly. And I appreciate you. I appreciate, you know, what you've done and how you have so much class about it. And I'm very proud of you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, you're, as far as education and how you took that on and you followed God's, what God wanted you to do for his people. And thank you. Thank you for listening, man. And blessing
so
many.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Yes, absolutely, man. And so I am going to play this song. Greg, our associate producer, asked me to say hello to you from the UK. So
okay,
much
Greg.
So he's also the one that created the flyers and stuff too, and he's posting all the stuff, all your stuff. So anybody's you know, on our page and stuff, just, you know, Greg has got everything about this interview up there for you, and if you want to follow our brother here, you it's already there for you to do that. So thanks, Greg. We appreciate you, man. And thanks, Melvin. God bless you. Tell your brother hello. And we look forward to, you know, meeting him as well next time. Maybe he could come on with you and stuff. But listen, I got to tell you something. You know, when somebody calls about a drum beat, you know, you can call me or you know, you can say, you know, I don't need that royalty. Call Wardell, he can play the beat, boy.
Hey,
or
you might get
Earl,
it all.
You got the great Earl Young as your buddy, right? You got him in your pocket too.
Yeah,
so
my man. I met Earl when I was 20 years old. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, so you got a lot of drummers in your pocket. So, but anyway, somebody did the same thing to me. They Kashif took my drum beat off of "And the Beat Goes On" for the Whispers, and used it to build "Love Come Down" for Evelyn Champagne King.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. And so, and he gave me a check. He gave me $5,000 check. I was like, what? I was like, well, thank you. I didn't, you know. Hey, so anyway. So, but it's all good, man. God is good, and I'm so proud. I can't wait to meet you, and I'm glad I had a chance to talk to you at least, and I got to meet your wife as well on the phone. So, and you guys take care, man, and have a blessed rest of your day. And thanks again for being a part of Solar Records Radio. We're gonna go to 10%, this Grammy award winning song. I am by our brother here, Melvin, and God bless you, man. Take care, and we'll catch you next time. All right, man.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Later on. All right, bye-bye.
Cause that's my witness. You just sugar in the morning and noon. Know what I want, I want some stars in the moon. Boy, you know you wanna see me light it up. So come on with the possibility, pick it up.
Get to this, oh baby, I want you here, I want
yeah, y'all. LJ Reynolds said, we got to step out tonight. Come to this on Solar Records Radio. Man, oh, man, oh, man. I'm so grateful for our wonderful guest today. What a blessing, Mr. Stills there. Melvin Stills, come on and bless us with his story. Thank you so much, my brother. Man, what a story, right? What a story. Some of us got it and some of us don't. He definitely got, I mean, he had two careers going. He ended up being a doctor and having some big hits and a Grammy. Come on, man. He just talking about filling it up. Man, he was filling it up. What a wonderful legacy. And then he has an amazing wife that he's been with since he's 16. Good gracious, Lord. I tell you, some people got it and some people don't. But anyway, my sister, she's been with her husband since she was 18, I think. My youngest sister. And not me. I'm just getting started again. Starting all over again. It's gonna be rough, but I pray that the Lord help us make it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we need some help from above. Make things work. Make things right. Anyway, guys, so this is Wardell Pastry. I'm going to stop singing. I know I'm upsetting a couple of people. Don't change the channel. Don't change the channel. There we go. Here comes the beeps. Lord, here we go. All right. So anyway, guys, look, I'm still waiting for my guest tomorrow. Just so Greg knows, I'm still waiting for my guest to confirm for tomorrow. And she did. She just confirmed. Charmaine Silvers from the Silvers will be on tomorrow with us. So tune in. And we're going to have a good time with Charmaine Silvers and hearing the stories behind the stories. I tell you, they just keep coming, man. I love it. I love it. And I'm so grateful that people are willing to come on Solar Records Radio and be a blessing to us in the world, you know, communicating with the, you know, those stories. That's what it's about. The stories behind the stories is what we get here at Solar Records Radio. Not untold stories, just the stories behind the stories that need to be told and people want to tell. And so we give them the platform to tell their stories. And at the same time, it's a blessing for the listeners and even us. I mean, we get excited about the stuff. Trust me, we get excited. Greg and I really get excited. We like asking all kind of questions. We're jumping on top of each other. My question, you know. But we get it done, and we have a lot of fun, and people get to, you know, tell their stories. And so I believe next Wednesday, we got a couple of different things going on. So we're not sure how we're going to do that. We may have two guests next Wednesday, the first hour and the second hour. So we did that about a week or so ago also. So we'll be doing that again because we're getting a lot of people out of Philly that want to be on the show. So we are, and these guys are legacy artists. I'm trying to get Earl Young. I want Earl Young on my show. You know, so we'll see when we get him. But anyway, guys, it's not even about, okay, so Earl Young was the drummer for the Tramps. He was the artist in the Tramps. He's one of the singers in the Tramps. But he also played on almost every song in Philly International. He's the drummer. He's the one that I grew up listening to. And so he's like, Uncle Young, can you please come on? Earl, can you please come on and share your story? And so we look forward to that. So thanks, guys. We got about 43 minutes left in the show. And so we're going to keep this music going. Charmaine Silvers tomorrow and Phoenix is going to be here tomorrow as well. So we're going to have a good time tomorrow. We're going to fill it up for you tomorrow. We love you and appreciate you here at Solar Records Radio. Let's get to the jazz. Thank you.
I'm out to see that I'm alive, I'm alive. Although I'm going out on my way just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. It's a pantomime and out of time. Still I know all eyes are for me. Half a jingle's out to my feet. When your smile is rushed too discreet to send me on my way. Now wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? Would you look good offer a light? You start a little conversation now, it's alright. When you say goodbye. Busy day and make the time out to see, girl, that I'm alive. Oh, I'm going out of my way just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. It's a pantomime and not the time. Still I know while I die for me. Half a tingle's down to my feet. When you're smiling, much too discreet, it's suddenly gone away. Wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? Present them out on you, you know that you could offer me a light. Start a little conversation now, it's all right. Will you say bye? Go where do we say? Just a pantomime and out of time. Still I know what I thought for me. Apple tingles down to my feet. When your smackers went to the street, it's sending me on my way. Well, baby, just don't say I'm on it. Please do not stare. You could offer your hand. Hugging and a chugging, it could be all so fast. Take five. Come take
We can play around, we can fool around, we can jump down, fool around, play around.
We can do it.
Y'all hear, I got my dudes in the background there. Oh, I enjoy this. Look, listen, Greg, listen, you gotta hear me. I'm singing on this. He's like, no. Every time I think about it, baby, and I was making dollars.
All my need to breathe, body breaking down, and I'm on my knees.
Maybe we should go with Chris, shake our body to the
end. And have some fun like everyone. Come on, baby.
Southern California, and we had fun there right before I took off and just packed up and moved to Texas. My wife just twisted everything up. I said, we going where? She said, Texas. I go, oh, Lord, they got guns in Texas. And they do. They got a lot of guns, I'm telling you. You know, liquor stores in Texas, they got gun stores. They got guns everywhere. So I ended up getting me a shotgun. Now I feel like the Lone Ranger, y'all. I'm running around like the Lone Ranger. Anyway, this is Bordell Bunch, and we are like a little less than a half an hour before the show is done. Man, oh man, I just love that. I love the jazz. I love it. It's just really amazing music and stuff. And Al Jarreau did it well. I had the opportunity to meet him and spend some time with him in the green room before he went on stage, and it was just real cool. What a nice man he was, and what a blessing he was to the music industry. And we're so grateful for what he did for us, and he blessed us with his abilities and all his great stuff. So anyway, it is time. We got a little bit more time left, so I'm going to play a few more grooves. And this is a song that I did on Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Pod.
You know, baby, I've tried to hide it.
If you were not here with me. one I could always call. You pick me up every time that I fall, 'cause you're right there by my side. Like a flower needs the rain, for your love I need it the same. Without it, how would I survive? That's why I gotta say, with your love I'm so amazed. Nothing in this world can compare. That's why I love you so. And I want the whole world to know that your love is the best love and honey that I've known. I can't live without you. Don't know what I'd do if you were not here within my life. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't live without you. Don't know what I'd do
if you were not here within my life. So
low, I can't live without you.
Oh, no.
Don't know what I'd do if you were not
here within my life. No, no.
Remember when time stood still?
Love,
I can't believe I found love that's oh so real. I saw an angel the other day resemble you. I was sure that love had come around.
Hey girl, here it goes. Gotta let you know that it's amazing how you make me feel. Ooh, I never let you go. We gon' be invincible.
To my surprise, she said that's how I feel. Ooh, 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 ooh.
be your best friend, your man. Anyway, guys, this is Wardell Pasajian, and this is it. This is it. Not the show, but this is the end of our show. And tomorrow's Throwback Thursday. And so I want you to come and hang out with us as we go down memory lane together. Not only in terms of the music, the great music that was made back in the day. Woo! Lord have mercy. I am a true fan. It's like junk food, and I am a junk food junkie. I'm chasing that old school music. I love, love, love it. But also, we have a legend in the name of Charmaine Silvers from this group, The Silvers. And she's going to come on and tell us some of the stories behind the story tomorrow on Solar Records Radio. So come hang out with us, and Charmaine is such a sweet lady. Oh, my goodness. And you'll enjoy her. We're going to have a good time. She's right under Leon. So there was Leon Silvers, and then there was Charmaine Silvers. They were right together there. So, and their birthdays are right down the street from each other, real close, a few days apart. So they're very, very close. And she was like the mama, right, of all the kids, because Leon and Charmaine and Olympia were the older ones, and then there was a whole bunch of other ones, right? So tune in, and we're going to have a good conversation with her tomorrow. She says she has a couple of stories that she wants to share, so I'm looking forward to that. And you guys, wherever you are in the world, just be blessed. Take care of yourselves, and know that you are blessed. And thank you for being here with us on Solar Records Radio. I just want to give you all an update on Astrid's health. She is better. She is probably 70%, maybe at the most, but she is at least on the upswing. I spoke with her today, and her voice sounds terrible, but at least she's on the upswing. And I asked her, I said, you need to sit up, you know, because she sounds like her lungs are, you know, full of mucus and stuff. But that's our girl, and we love her, and we just pray that she's okay. All right. And so she's coming along, and she's getting better. And so her goal is to be able to go out this weekend. Oh, boy. So anyway, Greg, I want to say thank you for your amazing work, all you do. And you know you do a lot, and I appreciate you here at Solar Records Radio. So you guys all take care. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, afternoon, wherever you may be on the globe. We appreciate you tuning in to Solar Records Radio. Peace out. God bless you. Take care. Attracted to each other, but you must
your predicament. Thanks, my son.